Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, what's up? What's up? Let's keep it real, son. Count this money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey yo, put the grants over there in the safe, you know what I'm saying? Cause we're spending these Jacksons. The Washingtons go to wifey, you know how that goes.
I'm saying that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and holes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? Then what?
Visualizing the realism of life and actuality. Fuck who's the baddest. Personal status depends on salary, and my mentality is money orientated. I'm destined to live the dream for all my peeps who never made it. Cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers, but something must have got in us, cause all of us turn to sinners. Now some resting in peace, some are sitting in San Quentin. Others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition, keeping this weapon resting. Speak ghetto essence to spot us, cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us. Even though we know somehow we all gotta go, but as long as we leave and even we'll be leaving with some kind of dough. So into that day we and turn the vapors, me and my capers, I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers, keeping it real, packing still, getting high, cause life's a bitch and then you die, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we puff lie, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go, life's a bitch and then you die, that's why we puff lie. I woke up real.
Sip the juice, I got enough to go around, and the thought takes place uptown. I grew up on a sidewalk while on street talk, and then taught the whole New York. I go to Queens for Queens to get the food from Brooklyn. Make money in Manhattan and never been took it. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down, get strong on the island, recoup and lay around. Time to build my juice back up, pop that up. Suckers get smacked up, don't doubt the clout. You know what I'm about, knocking niggas off.
All right, happy fifth night of Hanukkah, everybody. It is a podcast here edition of the Hard Hits Network with Derek Felix here in Staten Island, New York, Shaolin, representing NYC, Wu-Tang Clan, full effect, y'all. Lots of flow, lots of stuff going on here on a Monday night, overnight, for a little bit. Lots of football to discuss, so I'm just going to do a little bit on that, do a little bit of a podcast on the football. So week 14 has finally concluded. It didn't conclude in epic fashion. That was some game that was played. The game of the year between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore, they really needed the game. Obviously, they obviously are behind. They're in third place. They're competing for a wild card, and they snapped the losing streak last week. And this is a game that they built a 28-14 lead in, and Lamar Jackson ran for a couple scores, and then the Browns came back, and this was, you knew there were going to be a lot of points in this game. Baker Mayfield and that two-headed monster that the Cleveland Browns have with their running game, Nick Chubb and Kareem, I can't think of his last name, the ex-chief, but you knew what kind of game this was going to be. This was going to be drag them, sock them out, whatever you want to do. I mean, you know what? The first thing I have to see is just garbage about the Cleveland crap. And they'll always be the Cleveland Indians to me. And that's all I'm going to say. So I don't think that sport should be politicized. That's my statement. I think that these sports teams have a lot of history, and it's about competition. It's about sportsmanship and fair play. And a team name has nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that it's a team name. So if that means the Kansas City Chiefs' names are numbered, so be it. That means that the Washington team thinks they're just going to be the Washington team. To me, they'll always be the Redskins. They're the Redskins. That's what they are. And maybe that means the Braves are going to be doomed eventually. I like the tomahawk chop. I think they originally in the Boston Braves, the Milwaukee Braves, and they've been the Atlanta Braves. I don't like the cancel culture. I'm not a fan of it. And I never will be. I'm not mad about it. I'm just making my statement. I'm making a statement about history. And that you can't cancel everything. And I don't think you should cancel sports team names. So all right, let's get to the fun stuff. Let's forget about that. Let's forget about all the liberal publications that they're trying to do the same thing with sports they did with heavy metal. And that was both the conservatives and the Democrats. They tried to blame heavy metal for suicides. I mean, do you know how ridiculous and hypocritical it is? I don't see anybody trying to cancel any rappers. There's something called freedom of expression. I mean, they're rap artists, and these rap artists, they say so many derogatory things. We're not canceling them. Doesn't make me stop listening to NWA. I mean, really, they had a song called F the Police. I'm not going to curse on it on here about it, but that's what they had. But there was a point to the song, so I'm not going to. I just think that we live in a very imperfect world, and I think that the people that try to do these things, trying to pull this crap, they're not very educated. They also want to get rid of statues. They want to erase the history of our country, and I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. So I'm not making this a political show or podcast. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to make my quick statement, and I'm going to go. All right, so this game wound up 47-42 Baltimore Ravens. Unbelievable. Wow, where do you start? If the Browns could have won this game, they would have been 10-3. They would have been right there, a game behind the Steelers with a big game coming up against the Steelers. They've got the Giants. That's right. They would have been right there, though, because the Steelers lost the second straight game to the Bills. The Bills look legit. I was very impressed with Josh Allen, very impressed with the Bills' defense in the Sunday night game, and happy birthday to Robert Davis, even if it's a day late. I wrote a blog about it because he happens to share a birthday with my grandpa, with Grandpa Sam Felix, and Grandpa Sam would have been 110 yesterday, December 14th, and so I put together a blog, and it's pretty emotional. I was thinking a lot back to our childhood, me and my brother. We stayed over our grandparents a lot. They lived in Wabash, right off Ocean. What was it, the Ocean Parkway exit, I think? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, pretty close to Coney Island and right across from Lincoln High School, where Stephon Marbury, Starbury Marbury, played his basketball. Hung with some other Lincoln Rail splitters that became pros, including his troubled cousin Sebastian Telfair, the brother of Jamel Thomas, who's in jail because of just weapons charges and just being stupid. Lance Stevenson, I think he should have wound up better than he was. You know, he was an all-star, though. I'll forget about that. Isaiah Whitehead probably would have been better off staying at Seton Hall. The Nets drafted him, and everybody thought it was going to be a good pick, and he just bounced around, and let's see, in the NBDL. Where is he? I don't even know where the heck he is. But the point is that just growing up there was pretty special. Going to grandma and grandpa's for a weekend or whatever was great. It was different than living in Staten Island. It's just so laid back and just so different from everything else. But I want to talk about this game. It had it all. You know, if you want to follow my blog, you can. It's hittingback21.wordpress.com. You know, it used to just be sports blog. I do want to bring sports back into it. I do. It's about the timing, all right? When the timing's right, I will bring some sports back in there. But right in that birthday post, Val Grants, and then about Robert Davis, the greatest Bills fan that I know, aside from Brian Sanhorn. And Brian said that Rob's the better fan. He's also younger, but you know what? That's quite a compliment from Brian to say that. 516-531-9641. Pass the number out if anybody actually wants to get in. This is a podcast, though. I mean, I probably am just going to go solo. But, you know, I like doing this. I mean, it's not often that you have a game like that where you got two teams and the offense are just going back and forth like that, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, wow. And the Browns came back. They were down 28-14. They came back. They came back. It was awesome. It was great. And Lamar Jackson, what if he had to go to the bathroom, maybe he did have to go to the bathroom. I don't know. I had the radio on. I listened to most of these games, and I just happened to be listening to it, and I was entertained. I love listening to Kurt Warner with Kevin Harlan. I mean, but especially Kurt. I mean, Kurt is just, he's fun to listen to. And, a lot of good stuff to talk about. And what I have liked, you know what I would have liked? I would like the Giants to have actually played a better game than they did on Sunday. But I did not have a good feeling about that game. I just didn't. And I wish that I had felt better about it. Didn't feel good about the game. And it sucks. I mean, and I knew the Redskins, or the Monuments, as I like to call them, would win against the 49ers because they're too banged up. And that was a breakout game, wasn't it? It was a breakout game. Was. Yeah. I mean, you know what? There's a breakout game for the kid from Ohio State who had a touchdown return on, what was it, a fumble return? I think so. I think that's what it was, man. I'm never good when it comes to doing these things. I really am not. But at least I'm having fun. At least I'm able to enjoy things for what they are. And that's what it's about. I mean, this is a short podcast. I want to talk about how the Browns came back. They came back. They came back, and they came back quickly. Quickly. And I was just like, oh, my God. My God. I mean, are the Ravens going to blow this thing? Down 35-34. And we got our answer. Oh, we got our answer. I mean, and then all of a sudden, Jackson's not on the field because he has cramps. And Kurt Warner is kind of confused by it. And there are a lot of people that are confused. And if they have cramps, maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Maybe it was a bathroom thing. I don't know. That's what Jeff Batchelor was trying to say. You know what? It is what it is. I was entertained by it. Because how could you not be entertained? How could you not be a little bit entertained by it? I mean, it is not often that you. It's not. You know what? It was just entertaining. I found it fascinating. I mean, it was fascinating, and this was something to behold. I don't even know how this wound up 47-42. But, you know, normally the Monday Night Football games are just horror shows, but this was not a horror show. This was insanity. It was 21-14 at the half. Lamar Jackson with an unbelievable drive at the end of the first half after Cleveland had punted. And after they were 14-14, Lamar Jackson with a 17-yard run. He had already had a 5-yard run. Then they went ahead, and Gus Edwards scored a second touchdown. I never even heard of Gus Edwards until tonight. I've heard of J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins also had a rushing touchdown. You know, they ran for all these scores, okay? Then it was 28-14, and then here come the Browns. Here comes Kareem Hunt, the ex-chief. That's the guy. And he scores from 5 yards out. Great drive. And then J.K. Dobbins makes it 34-20. And then here come the Browns. And, yeah, the interesting part about this game is that Cody Parkey missed the extra point. He also missed a field goal. Cody Parkey is not really the best kicker. But you know who else missed a point after? Justin Tucker is a great kicker. He's been a proven kicker for years. He was on their Super Bowl team, their second Super Bowl team. He has a great leg, and he would play a pivotal role in the waning seconds. So he missed the PAT. So instead of it being 35-20, it's 34-20. And then Baker Mayfield drives right down the field, takes them right down the field, fourth down to go. We're going for it. Roll the dice. You know, you're not rolling the dice. You're just going for it because you're down by two scores. Rashard Higgins, 21 yards on the fourth down. And then instead of going for the extra point with your shaky kicker, they go for two, and they get it. Donovan Peoples-Jones, this guy that seems to make some plays for the Browns. He's got an interesting name, and he does make plays, and it's 34-28. And suddenly, you could win the game if you get a touchdown and you get a PAT. So what happens? They get the ball back. Jackson on second down tried to throw, and it was incomplete. And Warner said they probably would have been better off getting 4 or 5 yards because that's a lot easier, especially for a team like the Ravens, who are not a conventional passing team, and they aren't a conventional passing team. I agreed with what Kurt Warner said. Kurt Warner spoke. I don't know. When I asked Kurt Warner, he makes a lot of sense. Like, he could definitely be a coach or offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And JPG's giving me crap because I'm going to talk about DJ LeMahieu at the end of this thing. So Baker drives down the field after they don't convert the third down. And he takes them right down the field. And Baker runs from 5 yards out on the third down to go. Touchdown. And Baker Mayfield Parkey makes the point after. It's 35-34 Cleveland. So what's going to happen here? Are the Ravens going to be able to respond? This is where things got wild, dicey, okay? Trace McSorley is in. He's in. Jackson ran to the locker room. The report is that he has cramps. Or maybe he did have to go. Maybe he did have to go to the bathroom. I don't know. And I'm thinking, Trace McSorley, the Penn State guy, is in. He did pick up one first down. He did pick up one critical first down, the kid from Penn State that played for them, for Brian's college team. And Trace did pick up a first down, 1 out of 4 for 13 yards. And here comes Lamar Jackson as things are falling apart. And apparently, Trace McSorley, oh, God. And I heard it. I could tell by the way they called on the radio. It did not sound good. And it sounds like he ripped up his knee. And so he was down on the ground. It's now fourth down to go. It's fourth down to go. Here comes Lamar Jackson. Because I'm thinking, is RG3 going to come in? Was he even at? I have no idea. So teams can keep three in. I think they can in some special circumstance. So here comes Lamar back in. This is at the 2-minute warning, and he makes a pass, converts the fourth down to Marquise Brown, and he goes in untackled. Touchdown. Baltimore, 44 yards, and they're now up 40 235. They go for two, obviously, because if Cleveland scores a touchdown, you have to go for two there because they score a touchdown and point after would win it. They convert it. J.K. Dobbins, the kid from Ohio State, converts it 42-35. But Cleveland's been going up and down the field against this team, this team's defense, all night. So you knew the game wasn't over. And it did even take Baker Mayfield and that Browns offense without Odell Beckham. Just getting a little dig in, Odell. I'm sorry, Odell, but you want to complain about your Giants time and the fact that your team's in prime time next week against your former team? Go ahead. Nobody cares. Baker, he just marches them right down the field. Right down the field. Less than a minute. They had 1:51 on the clock. They went down there in lightning time, 47 seconds. They just boom, boom, boom. Mayfield to Hunt, 22-yard touchdown. Point after is good by Parkey, 42-42, 104 left. And then Kurt Warner said, and I think you had to be thinking it. They might have, I hate to say it, but they might have left too much time on the clock. And you had to be thinking it. After how Jackson came back into the game, converts that fourth down do-or-die play, and it turns into a touchdown for Marquise Brown. And sure enough, Jackson was unbelievable. I mean, Jackson is more of a running quarterback than a throwing quarterback. He's hitting receivers. He's finding guys wide open. He's not taking any sacks. He's only 11 for 17 in the game, and I think he made, like, he converted his last maybe, what did he go, five out of his last five or six out of his last, whatever it was. I think it was 5 for 5 or 6 out of 6 after the bathroom break or the locker room thing. What a cramp thing. Who knows the incident? We'll call it the cramp because LeBron has been known to the cramp like he did against Golden State that one time. He gets back in there. He takes them right down the field. Just makes the throws where he has to make them. And now the clock's running down. They did have two timeouts, but it's running down. And they get to the 37 of the Cleveland Browns. And I guess it was more closer to the 38. So here comes Justin Tucker, a outstanding kicker, one of the better kickers in the league, a guy off a great leg. He's made one from 60. 2 seconds. Either he's going to make the kick or it's going to overtime. Would it have wanted overtime? You know, the gamblers are probably all excited because the Ravens, I think, were 3-point favorites. They have to be pretty excited here. If you can make this kick, they're going to win their bet. You know, I don't gamble, but like, I'm sure they're excited about it. Well, actually, if you had plus 3.5, actually it was 3.5, according to this. So if you had Cleveland, even if he makes the kick, it's only 45-42. There's 2 seconds left. What could happen? Oh, boy. He makes the kick. I saw the replay of the kick, and the wind was swirling. He was smart. He kicked it from more of like the right side, and the ball just swirled and swirled. And went inside the post. That's rolled to the left. It was. He could have made that from 60. He's got a great leg. Clutch. Redeems himself for the missed point after. Those point afters are no picnic anymore. I don't understand why they did that, but they wanted to do that. This is what they created. So what's gonna happen now? You only have 2 seconds left, so. I immediately think, well, this has to be a California Stanford kind of thing. You're going to have to somehow make some kind of crazy return. And this is what you had. You had Baker Mayfield passing to Kareem Hunt. And then here we go. Here it comes. They're going to start rolling the ball back and laddering. Hunt. Then it's Higgins picking it up as the ball's going backwards. They're going from the 20 to the 15 to the 10, their own 10, to the 5. And they're lateraling to Baker. And Landry's picking it up. He's returning for 7 yards. And then he is lateraling and fumbling. Here comes Kareem Hunt. He laterals to Pickens. And eventually, Landry gets it. But guess what happens? He gets it in the end zone and safety. Game over. And if you were a betting person and you had the Browns with that plus 3.5, or maybe you had the Ravens and you thought you were losers, the Ravens got you a win with that half. And 47 to 42 is your final friggin' score. And this is even crazier. They total for this game, and I don't really look into these things, was 45.5. Whoa. The Ravens by themselves had 47 points. These teams combined for 89 points. Whoa. Well, let's give you some stats here. I want to give some stats, and then I want to move on. I'll talk a little Giants. I'm only going to talk a little Giants because then I want to talk about Yankees and DJ LeMayu. Lamar, 11 for 17, 163. How many on the ground? Oh, 9 carries for 124 and 2 touchdowns, plus the throwing touchdown. So he had 3 touchdowns altogether. And he played like an MVP. He made the plays. And how about Baker? 28 for 47 for 343, 2 touchdowns. And, well, 3 combined because he also ran for one, I think. Yes. And he had 2 touchdowns. He did have an INT. A lot of yards. Landry completed a pass. Yeah, Jarvis Landry for 12 yards. And Trace McSorley went on a 4 for 13 for Lamar Jackson. Saved his team season because they would have lost. They would have been down on all the tiebreaks. J.K. Dobbins, a guy that I thought would play a role on this team and starting to play a little bit more of a role. 13 carries for 53. Edwards, the 2 touchdown score, 749. And the Browns go over. The Ravens. The Ravens go over 200 on the rushing yards. And the Browns, Nick Chubb, 17 for 82 and 2 scores. Kareem Hunt, 6 for 33 with 1 on the ground, and he also had 1 receiving, 21 yards out. And Baker Mayfield had a rushing touchdown as well. This was a wild game. What a game. What a game this was. You're not going to see a lot of good stuff as far as the receiving goes. Kareem Hunt, 6 for 77 on the receptions, on the touchdown from 21 out. Andrews for the Ravens was the leader of 5 for 78, 39 long, targeted 6 times, catches and a touchdown, Marquise Brown. There's no defense in this game. You know, I'm not usually like a big fan of these high-scoring games, but anytime you get a game where it's like this, where you know whoever gets the ball last is going to win, or maybe it would have gone to overtime. If Tucker didn't have that leg, those are fun games. And I think this is the game of the year. You know, people have talked about that Seattle-Arizona game, which Arizona rallied and came back, and they forced overtime, and they won in overtime. And it was a crazy game, missed field goals and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. I think this was better. I thought this was just great entertainment. I went out for a coffee at Dunkin' around halftime, went to get my decaf. And I was just like, I got to put this game back on. And usually I'll put music on. I'll put college radio on. Usually I'll put Senior Hall radio on or FDO radio on because they always play some good music on there. I was like, no. I got to see what's going on in this game. I got to find out what's happening here. And before you know it, it's 28-14. And it's just going back and forth. And how exciting. I was just thinking, this is a great game. And I don't usually lock in on these Monday night games like this, but I usually, if it's a bad game, I'll listen to it, but I won't be paying the kind of attention I was to this one. This one, I was locked in on it, and I'm looking at highlights here, and it was great. It was a great game. So that division – Steelers have to feel pretty good, even though they lost two games in a row. They're 11-2. So they are two games clear of the Browns, rather than being a game up on them. The Browns are 9-4. They will be taking on the Giants, who will be big underdogs, I think. Especially with how Daniel Jones looked yesterday, on Sunday, against the Cardinals. I don't know why they decided that he was okay to play. They felt okay about the decision, though. I mean, they were the ones that saw him practice. The fact that he couldn't move, I mean, that is such a strength for Daniel Jones, and he's losing a fumble right away. The Cardinals are turning it into points, and the defense did not have a good game. Kyler Murray kind of snapped out of it, and that was I was concerned about this game. I talked about this with Brian. I was concerned, and for good reason, obviously. So I was concerned for good reason. I knew this was going to be a tough matchup, and it was. It was for them. And they don't have a choice. They have to somehow win next Sunday night's game. It's not going to be a home crowd. So even though they had three of the final four at home, not that home field's ever been great for the Giants, but you know, their winning streak came to an end at four. I mean, ugly fast. What was it, 23-7 or 25-7? It was ugly. 25-7, I think. Yeah, it was two field goals. They were down 19-0. Yeah, it was 26-7. It was just what they have, like, not even 200 total yards. It was bad. It was just a bad performance. Jones took some punishment, sacked six times, lost the fumble. It was not a good game for them. Deion Lewis lost the fumble. Gallman, he did run for 57 yards, 12 carries, but they fell behind. They're behind 13-0 before you blinked an eye. And you could only fall behind so much. I mean, your quarterback is he's struggling. He's struggling to do much of anything. Maybe they would have been better off playing Mr. Texas himself, Texas Pride, Colt McCoy, who did come in at the end. It was 2 out of 3 for 18 yards. He took two sacks himself. And how about the – he also lost the fumble. How about the performance? Local kid, Reddick. That's right. He had 5 sacks. He came in with 5. Hassan Reddick. A kid from Camden, Jersey, a former first-round pick of the Cardinals in 2017, had 5 sacks coming in. He gets 5 sacks. Wow. You think that was a homecoming or what? I heard he was very emotional. Good for him. Very bad for the Giants, though. Drake also had a good game on the ground for the Cards. 80 yards, 23 rushes for 80, well, a touchdown. Murray, 24 out of 35, 244, a touchdown, no turnovers. I was worried about this game. I just didn't think it was that good a matchup. Hopkins had a good game against Bradbury, 9 for 136. Hopkins a playmaker. Oh, man, he's one of the best receivers in the game. I think he is the best receiver. Stephon Diggs is the first receiver to 100 catches after another big game for the Bills, where he gashed the Steelers. But Hopkins, to me, is the best receiver. They just had too many weapons, and the Giants' offense was awful in this game. Evan Engram, only 2 catches, and nothing until the game was out of reach. Slayton, 3 for 31. Sharper, 3 for 35. But look, Jones couldn't throw. Jones couldn't really plan. I would have told him. There was a point, and I heard Carl Banks say this in the second half, where they had a 4th down and 1 from their own 16, mind you, okay? This is after Deion Lewis scored from 1 yard out. I think it's 20-7 at this point or whatever it is. And he said, you know what? They should go for it. Judge should go for this 4th down and 1. And you know what? at that point, why the heck not? You may as well roll the dice. I would have gone for it instead. Nugent, former Jet, a long time ago, two more field goals for him. He kicked four on the day, 26-7. Giants put them out of their misery, and now they're 5-8. And the Redskins won again. They're 6-7. They took care of the 49ers, and they need help. They need help because you know about the Giants' schedule. You know, it's the Browns. How are they going to stop that offense? How are they stopping the offense of the Browns next week with Mayfield now hot, along with the two-headed monster of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? How are you going to stop them? They've proven they don't need Odell. And Odell's jealous, obviously, because that's just who Odell is. He's a weird guy. I heard Tiki Barber talk about him, and he said he's a nice guy to talk to. So I think he's just a weird guy, but he does make it all about himself. And Jamal Adams is very similar. But Jamal Adams is the worst guy. And they killed the Jets 40-3. And he said he hopes for the best. I'm sure you do. You got out of there. You got out of Dodge. Just be happy that you're playing for the Seahawks. I did really well on my picks. I did so well on my picks that I kicked butt. I went 5-1. Originally, I went 4-1. The picks, I'll just roll through the picks because this is a quick stream. I had the Bucs by 7 points. They won ugly against the Vikings. They won by 12. I had the Eagles plus the 7 against the Saints. And what they do? They won outright with Jalen Hurts, and he's going to start again. And now the Eagles are back in it, by the way, at 4-8-1. They won outright, 24-21. I did take the Redskins. I'm not going to call them the football team, but I'll just call them the Skins or the Monuments. 23-15, they won against the 49ers, and they were three-point favorites. I also had, what was the other game? The one that I lost was the Raiders. They're just not ready for prime time. They lost by 17. They gave up 44 points to the Colts. Colts wanted to keep pace with Tennessee. They did. And is there any other games that I had? I think I might have listed every game. I took Buffalo. I thought Buffalo was going to be better. I thought they had been playing better. I thought the Steelers were a little flawed, and they got exposed last week. And the Bills did what they had to do, 26-15. And Josh Allen had another really good game. And they might be the second-best team behind the Chiefs now. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. They're 10-3. So they still haven't wrapped up a playoff spot. They're about to – but what if a win next week – or a Dolphins loss and they clinch the division. So how about that? It's been a long time. Last time somebody won the AFC East that wasn't the Patriots was 2008 when it was the Dolphins, when there was that crazy tiebreak scenario when Brady missed the whole season after getting hurt against the Chiefs. And Matt Castle, out of all people, quarterbacked the Patriots to an 11-5 record, but they missed the playoffs on tiebreaks by winning 11 games. Wow. All right, just really quick here on DJ LeMay on the Yankees. Well, I don't really know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. But you know what? Look, I know they lost a lot of money. I'm just going to say this and say it in as nice a way as possible. Get it done. I don't think 5 years for $100 million for your best position player the last 2 years, a guy who won a batting title, a guy who finished runner-up for MVP this year, and a guy who won a batting title this year and finished top four at MVP the last 2 years, and he's a great hitter. He's a really good hitter. I know he's 32. You can't worry about how he's going to look at year four. I agree with Steve Summers, what he said. That's why Steve's the best. You want to win now. And unless the plan really is to move Glaber to second base because of the shortstop woes, what are they going to do? Are they going to sign Andrelton Simmons? Are they keeping Luke Voit? And then you could shift DJ to first. DJ could play second, first, and third. Problem is they have Urshel had to have surgery, but he should be ready by March, I think. So I don't know what the deal is, but I think they should re-sign DJ. And that's all I'm going to say about it. You need more professional hitters like him, guys that can run, guys who can hit to all fields. And he's low maintenance. He loves it in New York. But they're really going to let him go? I have nothing else to say. This is it. This is Derek Felix signing off. Get it done. I'm out.